Good afternoon and welcome to December 11th, 2024 board meeting. We're going to have a welcome to Student Government Association. We're going to have a presentation from the Student Government Association at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Brittingham. Mr. Bogger is here, Tom Scott, Mariah Reed, and some superstar students to say hello. I think for their benefit, could we go around the table and you could introduce yourself to the student representatives, and then we'll turn it over to Mr. Bogger, and we'll go from there. So.
Sure. Marcel Hayes from Woodbridge. Bridgeville, anyway.
Markeisha Wise, Georgetown, Millsboro area.
I'm Gary Brittingham. I'm from the Millsboro area.
Rick Johnson from Laurel.
Kevin Carson from right here.
I'm Adele Jones. I taught in the Enduro School District and live in the Cape District.
And I'm Will Cornodo, and I'm from the Seaford District.
This is Diane Vickers, who's my administrative assistant, and Ms. Derrickson, who's our public information manager. So we invite you. I'm glad that you're here, and I'll turn the program over to Mr. Bogger.
And I'm going to let them introduce themselves here just in a few minutes, but I wanted to thank both Ms. Scott and Ms. Reed for all the work that they do. And on behalf of our administrative team and teachers at our school, I want to thank our Student Government Association for all the hard work that they do. We give them a round of applause. If we This idea was thought of to thank all of you in a way for all of your hard work for what you do for our district. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce, I think I'll let them each introduce themselves, but I'll start. We're going
seniors first.
Okay. So I'm going to introduce Austin Shorts, who's our class of 2025 vice president, but he's also going to introduce himself. Austin, you're up, man. You want to come up this way?
Yes.
I'm the class of 2025 vice president for our SGA. This year, we've just been working on forming like this senior trip, planning that, getting that together for all the seniors.
And then you want to give your gift. So you want to say the name on your card
and then
pass it out.
For Ms. Wise. Now I'm just a appreciation card and also have a t-shirt with it. And say thank you.
Thank you.
Carter, you're up next.
Hi, I'm Carter Cummings. I'm the class of 26 secretary, and one of the things that I'm pretty proud of that we have worked on is a shirt fundraiser for the football game. It's still selling, it's still doing well. We're still making shirts in our business class, and it seems pretty popular. And then we have a shirt for Ms. Jones. There you go.
Thank you.
Of course. And then Mr. Johnson.
Goldman, we knew these don't get
up. Of course.
Nathan, you're next.
Hi, I'm Nathan Young. I'm the president for the class of 2027. And this year we've been working on a fundraiser called Goblin Grams, and it's basically a gift that you can give to anyone in the school. Just to be nice. So the first shirt is for Mr. Cornell.
Did very good.
And the second for Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Last but not least, Ava.
Hi, I'm Ava Identity Thompson. I'm the 2028 class president. We haven't been able to accomplish too much since it's still the beginning of the year, but we're in the process of working on this. It's like a fundraiser, but it's like a secret Santa. It's called New Year, New Friend, and it's going to be for hopefully January if we can get it approved. And I have this for Mr. Brittingham.
Thank you, honey. The t-shirts that you've been given are also an encouragement if you want to stop by in tomorrow's basketball game. We play Milford, and the Tech Pack this year is trying to make sure that they include more than just football. So They're trying to make sure that they come to a wrestling match. They're coming to several girls' basketball games. They're going to try to get to almost at least two or three contests for all of our sports teams this year. And our SGA was influential in creating that new Tech Pack unofficial club at this point. So it's a way to create some school spirit along the way, which is pretty awesome. Yesterday, we also met with these, our administrative team met with our SGA, and they grilled us with questions. They had some really good ideas and some thoughts, and we're going to start to do that quarter. So we meet with them and start to talk with them and interact with them to make sure that they have a clear voice within our building itself. So I want to thank all of them. And they also wanted to really do this to thank you all for your hard work. Every year we're hoping to continue this and maybe even add a little bit more flavor to some of our board meetings with our students along the way. So
awesome.
Thank you all on behalf of the SGA.
Cool.
Thank you.
Welcome anytime. Hi, everybody. My name is Dominique Scott. I am the coordinator of student activities, coordinator of student government, also visiting teacher at the school as well, looking over attendance. Overall, I feel like we have done so many things. And yes, I can back up what Mr. Bauger was saying. We really just wanted to get to know you guys as well, and we really wanted to thank you. So Tech Pack is a big thing that we're doing this year of trying to make it a traveling Tech Pack. In a sense, it's usually a football thing, only football, and then it kind of shuts down. So we really wanted to make sure that the winter sports are getting love, and then we wanted to make sure that the spring sports are also getting love. We obviously know there's a little bit of a challenge this year because some things are going to be off campus in the spring, but we're hoping if we build it up in the winter, then people will travel to some of those away games. And then next year, we're really trying to expand it even farther to try to go to like choir concerts, band concerts, parades. So we're taking it step by step. And our goal this year is to potentially take the student section to a Salisbury University basketball game and let them see what a student section would be like at that level. So I've already reached out to their athletic department already to hopefully do that. So our field trip is hopefully coming up in February, where students can actually see what a real student section would be like. But overall, these individuals in the room, we have 24 officers. We chose four. We have a lot of great officers in our that, you know, we ask them to do a lot. They're sitting here smiling, but I do push them at times to do things. And they just, you know, they take it with a grain of salt and they do it because we're doing it to try to make our school environment better every single day. So I want to thank them as well as thank you guys for giving us the opportunity of coming here and being a part of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. I forgot to thank Ms. Reed. Whew. Ms. Reed started this year. Thank God for her because she's really helped me out. She's my assistant, aka she's my boss. She's a great asset to student activities because she really keeps me together, and she's a great asset to the kids as well. So thank you very much, Ms. Reed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. You're welcome. Welcome anytime.
Thank you.
All right.
That's nice to hear. Thank you as a teacher. That's why I'm doing this.
Awesome.
With kids.
Thank you so
much. Dedicated my life to kids.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
My nephew coaches. So he's one of the coaches.
Okay.
He did at Milford, so that's going to be interesting for him because he graduated Milford and he coached at Milford, and now he's coaching here at Tech.
Perfect.
So we'll see how he does.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. That is awesome, and that's one of the things I thought about because Indian River always has. They go back and forth between Indian River High School and Sussex Central High School. But they always have their student government do a presentation at whatever school they're at.
We're going to try to get on some form of a regular cycle. So,
okay.
You know, but student interactions with the board.
Yes.
To the December 11th, 2024 regular board meeting. I called the meeting to order at 4 o'clock. We went into executive session. We're now in open session before. But let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Silence, please. Thank you. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Canoodle.
Here.
And I'm here. Okay, next, I need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the minutes for November 13th, 2024, regular and executive minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Knudel, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone. Happy holidays. Thank you all for being here. First on superintendent's report is the update on the Sussex Technical High School building update. Hi, Richard Y. Johnson, and we have the esteemed Mark Johnson with us this evening, and our good friend Mr. Brian Bassett. And gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Instead of the podium. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. We get the better Johnson tonight. You've met me, Johnson, a few times. That's the way his family refers to him and all of his clients as well. But no, Mark's an integral part of the company and third generation for RYJ. And he gets called in once in a while. He runs most of the Capital School District's projects and Laurel School District's projects and everything else that gets thrown at him. But tonight, he gets to cover for Dean. Now, if you like him, I think we start a petition. We'll see. That might be a little tough. Well, we are super excited to see things moving out at the job site. We wish the banner wasn't moving as much with all this wind. We'll take care of that. But to be this far along at this stage of the year after just, you know, awarding bids a little while ago is super exciting to us. So we're hoping that you see the progress, and we're hoping to go vertical soon. But I'll turn it over to Mark. He'll walk you through a few slides, and then I'll take any questions that you may have. Go on, Mark.
All right, so we're going to start the foundations and Area K within the next 2 weeks. The reason why we start in Area K is that's your mechanical room, and there's a lot of work in that area. So that's where we want to start, and we will work our way around and follow around. You can see the red line, so that's the way we will go.
The big benefit with that, too, is that's going to get us that third story section and that two story section to get a lot of inside work. You never know how winters and things are going to look. So, you know, Dean and Mark always do a great job of making sure the highest levels with multiple levels we can get guys inside and doing that classroom work.
So you'll see here, here's your building pad, all the dirt area. They've got some asphalt laid down. That'll be a lay down area to store materials and whatnot during the construction phase. Here's a picture of your entrance. Sports fields. Side bleachers have all been taken down. You can see your old football stadium. So coming up, start concrete foundations in area J and K. Start under slab utilities, continue site work and utilities, work on the field hockey fields, finalize design on lights at field hockey fields, layout is complete, working on electrical service and infrastructure. Finalize VE items, confirming two more items, potential VE total around $2.7 million.
We'll give you, if you can go back to that slide, Mark, thank you. Mm-hmm. Those concrete foundations, if we don't get weather like today, are scheduled to start next week. So in that first area of either J or K that Mark had mentioned, you'll start seeing concrete foundations going, which is great. And when we get those started there, that means currently scheduled is March, steel should start showing up. So we get excited about dirt first, curbs and asphalt, but the next thing, you know, the concrete's pretty cool, but when you start seeing steel go up, everyone gets excited. So if we can still make that happen by March, we got a lot of submittals still to get in and for that to happen, but hopefully by March, and that's always a good time of year too. You get near spring break and you get the staff and students and all of us excited to see it going vertical. So that'll be happening there. This other stuff is all in between, the underslab utilities and all that, but everyone's on board. You know, we only had Kinsley for a while for the site work, and they've just been knocking it out of the park. I mean, they've been incredible. They're working into the evening hours to get that asphalt down. So we couldn't be happier with them and what they've done. But it's given us time to get everyone else under contract. So Nick will be out there, and our concrete and foundation guys will be starting on all that. And it's not so much that Dean doesn't know how to use spell check. He just really thinks that's how you spell hockey. So, this is the smarter John Stacey presentation.
Plus, we come out of Lincoln, we got a little slang to us.
Absolutely. So, and that one entrance earlier, too, the one up high, that's a Del-Dot entrance. That's just another thing that doesn't usually get accomplished this early on. We're never usually lucky enough with weather or timing of contracts or cooperation with some agencies, but to get that entrance over there, which was a new entrance, and have Del-Dot come in and allow us to cut that in, huge advantage, because that's going to open up. You know, we never guaranteed use of that track and field area. We didn't think it would be possible. We now think it may be possible, at least for practice, and Kinsley has said their goal is to get the turf on that field by this spring. Now, if we get 5 feet of snow this summer, we'll see if that changes their mind. But that's a new goals that we didn't think were possible, a few months ago. So I'll shut up, answer any questions that you have for me or Mark. The VE, sorry, no. That's not something for us to skip over quickly. We asked all the contractors from the bid day, you saw the drawings, you bid on it, we're grateful for your low bid, but what did you see that could save us some money? And we've talked about that at a previous board meeting briefly, but there's things on there like concrete sealant on the concrete floors that none of us will ever know the difference between the type of sealant put down. It still meets the specs. It's still a good product, but it saves $100,000 here, $100,000 there. Some of the ground face block work, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the list of items, we're getting up to around $2.7 million. That's going to be coming to you at future board meetings as change order credits. So I don't like presenting change orders to the board. I love presenting change orders that are credits, because then we're bringing money back to the project. And as you know from bid day, our contingency is not where we want it to be. We have a contingency. I'm a nervous person by nature. I want that contingency to be higher. So this is going to help us with that. But I will knock on wood and say a lot of contingency is used getting the site work done and getting out of the ground. And you all had a lot of unknowns on your site. So to be where we're at with asphalt and the building pad down and not having any of those surprises yet is a real good sign for our contingency. But when we bring them to you, you'll see the full list of items. Dr. Carson and HUD and have been working on those, and there's nothing that will devalue the building. You're going to get the same product. And the block is the example we were looking at yesterday. None of us could tell the difference between these two. So, yeah, we'll take $75,000 back to take this other gray block that looks just like the other gray block. So that's a big one, and we'll bring you those, if not in December, at the January board meeting.
No questions, but, again, comments to the contractors that have been on site, the supervision provided by RYJ, and certainly Brian, Dane, Mark, everybody that's been in the job so far. I mean, it's almost like you're waiting for a shoe to drop somewhere along the way, but we're going to keep it on going and stay in front of the shoe. But getting to the point of steel coming out of the ground in March will be a huge benchmark for us going forward. And as we get into the schedule conversations about when will things... If you hit those benchmarks, then you've got a chance of making your schedule work. So it's been good. But the contractors have all been, great to work with. HUD's been having a big impact on relationships with them and doing a great job answering questions and keeping people moving. If you can answer questions and help them with things along the way. They're pretty much a get and go group, so they do. Like the water shut off, or the buildings are about to be torn down. And, you know, we have found some surprises.
But, water connects to this building, to this building, to this
building. Strange.
Yes.
Yeah. So, thanks to RYJ and to everybody that's been involved so far. Any board members have any questions? We'll be doing this monthly. You'll be getting pictures and updates. Brian and others have been taking pictures. TJ Dukes has been taking drone pictures, and so we're getting a library of those pictures. Gina's been sending those out. Staff have been kept informed, and pictures have been sent to them also. Talking with Neil and John, and we're also going to begin the conversation process about, I shouldn't say this, but I will, about a visitation, about, you know, when can we take a ride around and show people, and you get anxious about doing that, and safety's first along the way, but also student engagement in the process along the way. And our contractors know that this is a student-based program also, so that, what a great opportunity. I mean, if you're at Sussex Tech for the next 3 years, you're going to get some exposure to some construction management, and putting facilities together and doing those things. So it'd be a nice opportunity.
We're very aware and happy that we work for you all, so we will gladly set up tours. We'll gladly get the students out there. You know, we want to be we're partners, but we know who we work for. So anytime you want to get out there, we'll do it. But we pass that along to our supervisors on site. They've been more than happy to do it. And we know it's inconvenient on the current site. And again, knock on wood, it's gone smooth, but that's due to the cooperation of all you and the staff. And you know, parking is short and all those things. So we're going to work with you to open anything up we can, and we just appreciate the cooperation as we build on the existing site.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
it. And like I say, happy holidays to you and your families.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Mrs. Hatfield for the monthly financial, and we'll also do the district final. Mrs. Hatfield.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight I'm going to be presenting the monthly financials as of November 30th. At this point in the year, we're at 41.7% of the fiscal year complete and 42.3% of the payrolls complete. On the tax collections report, our November tax receipts were $1,187,066. And so far this year, we've received 96.5% of our anticipated tax receipts. And last year at this time, we had received 97.2% of our anticipated tax receipts. So we're right in line with where we were last year as far as receiving our anticipated tax receipts. On the call center report, again, we're at 41.7% of the year complete, and we're at 42.3% of payrolls complete. If you look down at the salary line, we're doing really well. We're only at 39.5% spent on our payroll line. So we're spending under budget a little bit there, so we've got room there. We're doing well. Some areas, like I've said in previous months, we're over our expenditure percentage, some we're under. So if you look at the second page, our overall expenditure percentage is only 40.9%. So we are spending a little bit under budget right now. And that's all I have for regular monthly financials. Are there any questions for that? So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the final budgets for FY25, and I'm going to start off first with the revenue budget. Prior to this final revenue budget, there was a preliminary budget, which was board approved last spring for fiscal year 25. And in the preliminary budget, that is based on what we think we're going to receive, But in December, when we finalize our revenue budget, that is based on our state-approved units, and they're approved by the state in November. So that's when we go ahead and do our final budgets once we get to know those numbers. Our enrollment increased this year to 1,341 students, which increased our units to 106.46. And based on our state-approved units, our Division II energy units increased to 189.39, which gave us an increase in our energy funding. Our Division II and Division III academic excellence units increased to 5.36, and our Division II all other cost units increased to 127.63, which increases our revenue for the state appropriations 05165 and 05265. Our Division III equalization increased to 106.46, and our Division III reading cadre, visiting teacher, and related services units increased to 5.45, and that's for our 05186 appropriation. If you look at the other state appropriations, those are the actual amounts that we have received so far, and that we anticipate receiving for the year. Our technology block grant allocation is $34,313. Our ed sustainment is $256,389. Our opportunity funding, it increased $67,414 this year for a total allocation of $368,345. And our school safety and security funds, total allocation is $89,189. Under the current expense and other, these are our local appropriations, and the anticipated lines are what we anticipate to receive in local revenue for the year, and the balance forward lines for the actual July 1 carryover. On the next page.
Chris, just a couple comments. Give the board an idea on a couple of things. Equalization is the state's attempt to make sure that dollars are spent equally, hence the name, in school districts, regardless of where you are. The wealthier a school district you are, and we're considered to be a wealthy school district, that the less equalization money you get, and the less property rich your school district is, the more equalization money you get. So as Chris mentioned, we get $185,000 for equalization money, and our average payroll so far year to date is $287,000 every 2 weeks. So equalization covers us for about two-thirds of a payroll in the second week of July. So there's no visions of grandeur there in terms of equalization. Equalization is going to be on the table more and more with the reassessment conversation. There's about $96 million that is in the state budget for equalization, and that's spread out over the 19 districts. I've said this before, I'll say it again publicly, and my concern is that money might be moving from Sussex County to Newcastle County because of the wealth that the reassessment, I believe, is going to show that has changed in Sussex. So while we have individual property issues going on at this point, my eyeball's on the net, and it's not for us. my concern is that money may leave Sussex and go to Newcastle. That's what we need to be aware of along the way. And then the addition on the opportunity fund, and then in consolidated, we had the mental health grant or program that came through along the way. Chris has done a good job pulling all this together, but it's allowed us to pick up additional personnel, social worker, psychologist, and then but helping to support multi-language learners and exactly what Opportunity was designed to do. And so we've taken those dollars and invested them right back into the student population. So that's been a good thing to be able to get. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
No.
And as he was saying with equalization, there are some districts that their equalization funding will last them through March. And it ends in July with us, pretty much. But anyway, so next. Okay, so on the next page, the balance forward accounts. These are what we anticipate our balances to be at June 30, 25, to start all fiscal year 26. So these are just guesstimates of what we anticipate. And our set-aside accounts in that first column shows our current balances as of October 31st in the first column. And that column, those numbers reflect the adjustments made from the board-approved preliminary budget that you had approved last spring, last May or June. The second column shows what adjustments we would like to make this year after the final budget is approved. And the third column shows what our net balances would be after those adjustments are made. So these set-aside accounts, as you know, are used for those one-time purchases, things that are not part of the normal operating budget each year. And after we make those set-aside adjustments, our total expendable operating budget would be $13,898,346. And this is actually an increase of $390,367 from our preliminary budget figures. So with that being said, we can move on to the cost center. So we know that our total expendable operating budget will be...
I'm sorry, Chris. I think we need to get some cost centers.
We don't have a cost center.
We got revenues. Burn some. While we're getting those copies, going back to set aside and what's been done, again, remind the board, you see a big number under maintenance set aside. We've committed $6 million for that for the third floor of the new school. So the CN was written for 1600 with the ability to go to 1800. The building of the third floor allows us to have that in play. And to go from that perspective, we're also in conversations regarding the natural gas lines and other things along the way. Our goal is to reduce that number significantly. So you're saying, so why are you increasing it? Because we're going to be spending it. And if you look 3 years out, that number is going to be significantly smaller. At that point, as we cross into it,
So that maintenance set aside is like for what he said, and also for keeping the current building we have running until the new high school is built.
Hudson buying duct tape.
It's getting expensive.
And adding to the legal set-aside, possible legal issues, adding to our communications for possibly the alarm systems, the web detection systems, all that possible things for that.
You're projecting to spend
$13,898,346, right? Yeah.
There you go.
So, let me just get passed around. So since our total expendable operating budget, according to the revenue side, we came up with a $13,898,346. So we now have our call center match it, which you can see on the second page of the call center. And the adjustments that we made in our call center to come up to that figure, we wanted to increase student travel, $30,000. We are going to decrease home visitations, $15,000. We're going to increase high school FF&E, $15,000. We're increasing local salaries, $300,000. We're increasing district operations, $50,000. We're increasing curriculum and instruction, $40,000. Increasing athletics, $25,000. We're decreasing our tuition-based programs, $30,000. Our scope bill came in this year, and it was quite a bit lower than what it was last year, which was good. I think, in talking with Dr. Carson, our rec room that we have at the high school has really helped with that. We want to increase maintenance, $25,000. We're going to increase our SRO line, $30,367, to make that whole. And increase our extended school year, $80,000. So this is an overall budget increase of $390,367. So, and you'll notice that those numbers match the call center final budget as well as the total expendable operating budget on the revenue side.
Chris, if the board approves this tonight, then the January financials will be using this as the base.
Yes. If they approve this tonight, I will make all the adjustments, and when they get the call center next month, it'll be in that original budget number.
Good. Any questions for Mrs. Hanfield? Thank you very much. Mrs. Whaley, Mrs. Hanfield, Adult Education final budget.
The final budget. So in June, the preliminary budget, we presented that, and that was based on what we had submitted in the grants that me and Kelly and Mike submit to the state of what the money that we're asking for, and then they come back and say, tell us what they approve us to submit for the upcoming school year. So in the first one, the in-school credit, which is called credit recovery as well, we got an increase for that of $7,000 for this year, so I've updated that. On the apprenticeship line, that stayed the same. On the Groves line, that was a decrease of $8,560. Then on the ABE line, they increased that by $186,150. Read mechanics, that stayed the same, and family literacy stayed the same. So overall, that was a $184,590 increase for all the state funds that we received for this coming school year. So then on the federal side, the ABE federal, so we asked for a bigger increase, but they actually decreased it by $124,000, but they put more money into the state funding, so that kind of equaled out. And then the next one is the ILC program, so we had put in for $82,000, but they actually increased it by $14,518. The Perkins grant, that decreased by $19,000. And then, but then they also gave us a Perkins Innovation Grant of $15,000. So overall in the federal, there was a decrease of $94,482. So then on the preliminary report in June, the local reports we projected and how much we, this is like my, just a guess of how much tuition we'll collect from students, which it's hard to predict when they, students register and stuff. So we, on the final budget, I went through and put a percentage about how much we've collected so far this year for all the local accounts. So far it's kind of close. It's hard to project the different miscellaneous grants, like the different contracts we get and stuff like that. So, is there any questions on that one?
Just a couple of comments. The miscellaneous grants includes the $200,000 we received from the ConnectEd funding also. And that's included in there. We're also at, I believe, and these percentages were based upon 41.7, also the year having gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, 41.7,
okay.
So through November 30th.
Okay, thank you.
So then they were on the expenditure side. So we're at 41.7%. So personnel costs over all of them, the state, federal, and local, we expended $1,122.25. So that's 39.64%. So that's a little under the 41.7%. Then travel, we haven't spent anything in that this school year. Contracted services, we spent $67,707.81, so that's a little over the percentage so far. Supplies, we've only spent 27.99%, but that increases as we have classes starting, which we'll be having new classes starting in January. Indirect costs, we haven't collected any of that so far. And then the contingency, we haven't had to use any of that. So, is there any other questions on that? We need to introduce Charlene.
That would be great.
This is Charlene Manchin. She is our new secretary. She's going to be working with BJ and helping out with our financials.
Welcome, Charlotte.
Very happy to be here, and thank you very much for the opportunity. She's fitting right in. I appreciate that.
Did well, Miss Lincoln. Thank you. District purchase orders, change orders, and vouchers. We've made some purchases. Aluminum athletic equipment. We're a portable coaches raised platform and a portable scorer's table. We're not sure where fields are going to be, so we bought things that can be moved around and used. You'll notice that the payment was from athletic set aside. Again, here's the purpose of the set aside, those once in a while things. And performing arts, and the reason performing arts is that there might actually be a second tower involved, but we want to make sure that the band is included in our planning process along the way. So this allows the band director to have platform or the major going up when they have their band practice and programs like that. So they have been ordered and on the way. We need a new freezer. We've probably replaced it from a parts and maintenance standpoint. You hope to get more years out of it along the way, but the point of the matter is we need a freezer, and we might be able to repurpose it with the new school. That was the intention along the way, and we do have a cafeteria set aside for the purchase of those things. And again, I want to stress to the board, these are things that don't come out of the operating budget. These are things that come out of your savings account. That's the way to look at it in terms of how we do this. Site lighting contract, we did receive a contract proposal from GIPE, from Lighthouse Engineering. I think it's Lighthouse, and Structural, and also, who am I missing? There were three. Pilot Town, I said Lighthouse, I'm sorry, Pilot Town. Good, I feel better.
Young Buck.
Who?
Okay,
me too. And a few minutes we'll shout it out. They all submitted their proposals for the proposed lights. We talked about this last month down at the track site. As you heard from RYJ earlier this evening, Kinsley, and they are planning to proceed. The biggest portion of that is with Guyte along the way. I'll get it. I'm trying to think. But we're trying to figure out where we were going to pull power from along the way. And we thought, well, we'll come across the way of it. Kinsley being Kinsley, as you saw a picture of, paved the parking lot where the for the field hockey soccer area now. So now we're going to have to pull power from another place. The bleachers going down, the visitors bleachers coming down, and again the board knows being repurposed down to that area. So the cat's out of the bag. They have every intention of doing the work on the field inside of the track this spring. That opens up a whole nother set of opportunities for us. Parking lots being paved is huge, what we can open up even for isolated events, graduation, other types of things that it brings along. Having the lights there will also be good. Right now, today, graduation is inside in the gym. And if we have a field down there that is turfed, we might have another option. So, might have, and so on and so forth. So, that's news to Mr. Bogger along the way. But if we have parking and we have access, and I know, well, that's right.
I wasn't going
to
tell you.
Along the way. But you have to have agency approvals, and you have to have other things to do the work. And they have to be very careful taking those light poles down along the way. We're going to replace all the lights and do all that. So that's kind of exciting also. Yes, thank you. You're so good at it. Davis Bowen and Friedel was the third contract for the civil work that went along with that along the way. Excellent. When you build a building, and when particular, when you build a great big building, you need something called builder's risk insurance. And builder's risk insurance is to make sure somebody doesn't come along and steal your building while it's being built. The premium to do that, $510,000 for builder's risk insurance.
Did our way take it to come from us?
Pardon?
I don't know that we just ours. Did our way take it to
Oh, no. We have to get it.
We got it
direct with them, and they do. And we shopped it. There were multiple vendors on this arrangement. So I know you're doing your math.
It's a one-time fee for what's it called?
3 years.
Yeah. 3 years, and how much?
The value of what's being built.
That's a good one. Percentage.
Huge number. Was budgeted. Problem is, it was budgeted at 366. The bill came in at 510. That's why you need contingencies and other things, right? That Brian was talking about. And you'll see it under informational. They've already billed us for it. So, and if you think about it, you need to have your insurance in play in order. If you're going to come up out of the ground, you need to have your insurance in play in order to be able to do that. We've also contracted with Nanticoke Fence to enclose. Remember the first pole building that we built that had the open bays over there? We took you on a ride. We're going to put up some chain link tall structures that are in there for security reasons and to keep the equipment materials. There's a lot of small wares in there, and we have a lot of people on campus all day and all night. I shouldn't say all night, a large part of the night. So we want to make sure that's secure out there also. So that's being done. Last month or the month before, we had bought a recommendation for a settlement for a legal matter for the amount of $87,000. Chris's language, check canceled. The arrangement on this, quite frankly, because it's so few and far between, I take responsibility for it. We have a $10,000 deductible. We paid the $10,000 deductible. The insurance company paid the balance of that. So instead of being a $87,000 bill for us, it was a $10,000 bill, and the balance is different. So I want the record to reflect what happened at that point. And that is it. Any questions on vouchers or other matters? All right. We have a request for a field trip from one of our teachers to Michigan with five students to the Van Andel Institute. This is a science journaling club program. We're going to call it a voluntary club that would, there's been online relationship built between what's called the, I'll pass this around, there's actually something called the High School Journal Club, and this organization, which we have vetted, starts talking about ways in which a research project, and this year's research project pertains to Parkinson's disease, and students are participating with scientists, and this would be a field trip for them to go to the Institute to interact with the people that they've been interacting with in Michigan to do that. The Institute pays for some of the expenses associated with that along the way. The teacher, the recommendation is being made to approve it with contingencies, and those contingencies are that the travel arrangements, insurance coverage, and that the budget funding for the trip can take play. Because it's out of state, it comes to you as the board for an approval to be able to do that. Along the way, we're recommending approval with the contingencies to be in place. Any questions? Next, we have undertaken a project through our strategic plan that addressed the possibility of a ninth grade interview process for our ninth graders who, as you know, participate in an exploratory process before they make a determination about which technical area they wish to enroll in for 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. In, quite frankly, one of our building visits to go look at schools, we've known about this, but we came across the fact that there was an interview process associated with the connecting to it, which we liked, in that it was more than the student choosing which technical area that they got involved with, that they actually had to sit in front of instructors, advisory committee members, other folks that were associated with the program itself, and participate in an interview process, submission of a resume, answer some fundamental questions, go through the nervousness of an interview to gain that experience. And it's more experience-based from that perspective, but I think it also leads to a cultural awareness that you have to toe the line and you have to answer some questions about why joining a technical program is important to you. Teachers will vet their students, go through a process, and final decision rests with the administration of who, because we're still going to place ninth graders, but they're going to go through the interview process itself. This has been one of the responsibilities of our academic placement goal with Dr. Donovan and his work with Mr. Bogger. Dr. Bullock has been very involved in the program. She joins us tonight. I think she's brought some assistants along with her. And so Dr. Bullock, we'll turn it over to you.
Good evening. I do have Mr. Jones and Mr. Wharton joining me tonight. They're two of the members of our committee. We actually have six CTE areas represented on the committee. Two ninth grade English teachers sit on the committee and a counselor. So we've been collaborating on the best way to get 341 freshmen authentic interviews to choose their tech area. So what we've decided is that on March 13th, which is about 2 weeks before the beginning of marking period four, we will have a remote day where only ninth graders will be in the building. The 10th, 11th, and 12th graders will have online activities, lessons, and assignments that are follow the guidelines of our remote day schedule. They will be rigorous. They will be aligned to what is currently being done in the classroom at the time. So there will be authentic assignments to do. The ninth graders will be in the building for their regular school day. However, they will be going through a six session rotation throughout the day, where in each rotation they will be focusing on some teamwork challenges, communication skills. They will be working on set goal setting, vision boards, and some career exploration. So they will be actively working while the interviews are taking place. They will each have a scheduled interview time where they would leave whatever rotation they're in, they will take their pass, and they will go interview with their particular tech area that they've been assigned to. We think that by doing this, we're hoping to improve the alignment with not just career interests, but also student goals and their aptitudes and their current skills and background. We are encouraging students to be responsible in their decision making and to really think about the tech area that they want to spend, sorry, my mouth is a little dry, the next 3 years in every single day. We want to make it an authentic experience for them. We are also trying to reinforce the fact that our vision is we are a career-focused school, and our education in the school is career-focused. We want to maximize, thank you, our program effectiveness by making sure the students who are in those tech areas are really want to be there. And are prepared to be in that tech area and be successful there. And we're also trying to build some career readiness and professional skills through this process. They will actually be working with their ninth grade English teachers on interviewing skills and also their application, which I'll talk about in a minute. The rotation schedule I've already talked about, they're going to be in groups of 13 to 14 students. They will rotate through different sessions throughout the day to get some of the soft skills that we know students are lacking, that we hear from our industry partners that they really need when they go out into the workplace. They will fill out an online application prior to being chosen for an interview, and they will be placed for an interview in either one of their first, second, or third choice options. That will be based on tech area demand. If we have a tech area that has 55 students who choose them first, we can't get through 55 interviews in one day. Each tech area will do 23 15-minute interviews. So each tech teacher will be responsible for 23 interviews. The students in front of them, like I said, they might be there because it's their first choice, or it might be their third choice. It depends on where space is available. But we believe that every student will be able to interview with at least their top three, one of their top three choices. As I said, the interview will be 15 minutes. It will be 5 questions. 3 of them are universal questions that every student will get. They're aligned to common interview questions that people see when they go to an interview for in any particular career. And then the other 2 questions will be tech-specific based on what was taught during the 9th grade rotation so that they can ask students about some of the knowledge they gained through the few weeks that they were in that particular tech area. It will be a 4-person interview panel consisting of the CTE teacher. Each CTE teacher will also choose a content teacher to join them, and then they have a choice of an advisory member, a senior leader in their program. We have some tech areas that have paraprofessionals that help them on a regular basis, so the para could be chosen as part of the interview panel as well. They will use an interview rubric that has been designed based on the CTSOs, as our Career Technical Student Organization. Each of our CTSOs have interview competitions, and we've created a hybrid rubric that hits the main points of each of those interview processes and competitions. So it's aligned to also preparing them to compete later on in some of our leadership events, regardless of what CTSO they are in. The main thing that we want to put out there is that the CTE teachers are not cherry picking their rosters. That's not the point of this. They're not getting to hand select who's gonna be here, who's gonna be there. They will have some input, but the focus of this is putting some ownership on the student and putting some responsibility on the student to validate why they belong in a particular tech area. One of the things on the application process will actually be their aptitude scores from the major clarity that they use throughout their CTE areas, and it will show kind of like their learning styles and maybe a best fit for them when choosing that tech area. The interview does not guarantee admission into the program. As Dr. Parsons said, final decision will be a group effort of CTE teacher input, guidance counselor input, and administration input. Any questions?
How aware do you think students are that this is being introduced?
I know in administrative offices, when 9th graders are sitting in front of us, we are having this conversation. You know, I will look at a student and say, you know, your grades and your exploratories aren't looking so good. What tech area are you thinking about? You might want to make sure that you're being successful there. I know the CTE teachers have been letting them know that this is coming, that they're going to have to interview and kind of be selected, which I don't like to use that word, but that they're going to have to go through this process, that it's important. Yeah.
So Mr. Jones, Mr. Wharton, do you think that knowing that this is coming has changed a mindset or a culture or an expectation on students in terms of saying, I know I have to do something to get there?
Yes, we are not getting into the weeds, but this is going to help in a student who is just trying to take an area because his friend's there. They are aware that they are going to have to interview. Every rotation that I've had so far, we're in 4, they've all been made aware just by their other tech teachers and the word. So, yes, it does put some more skin in the game, however you want to say that.
Yeah.
And to know that they're going to have to back it up. We don't, on my area, I don't give a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of paperwork involved with a rotation. There is a little bit. Well, this year I have saved all of it as evidence, lack of better words, so that when they do interview, if they wanted to take me, I've got it. Now, we all know that a student from the first marking period is going to be different than the third marking period. I understand that, but we all do. But we can, if this person wants to take my area, and now we're interviewing. I have all the evidence. They'll have the opportunity to explain where they came up short if they really wanted it. And I think if they really want to be in your area, it is going to cause them to act like they want to be in your area and not a guarantee. Although we can't keep the kid out that we don't want in there. He's going to be in there. You really want the one that wants to be in there. That answers your question.
Yeah.
And I'm in agreeance there. I know I've introduced it as a potential possibility. So from my point of view, it's become more of a competitive. I better be, if I really think this is the course I want, then I've really got to put my best foot forward so that I can be chosen for this content area. And I really love the idea because I think when it comes down to this fourth marking period, it's going to change the, like he said, my buddy so-and-so is going to take, auto collision, so I don't really know what I want, so I'll just go with that, I'll just put that down. I think it's going to be a focus, it's more critical thinking and really cause them focus. What would I really like to have? I think it's just going to force them to think more about their decision instead of just jotting down whatever. And I've had a number of students, and we see still, even through the rotations, after you see 180 kids at an average, the first ones you kind of forget a little bit about because each experience, every half a marking period, it becomes a different rotation, a different environment, and you kind of forget those in the first rotation. So I'm like him. Yeah. I'm keeping notes, I'm keeping track of attendance, some highlights to some students that, really struck a nerve with me. And I'm still, we still see in the rotations, I look before they come and I see, well, this student had medical, dental. All of a sudden, here's electrical, and they'll come in and I try to start conversation and they go, well, yeah, I didn't really, I only picked the first one. My mom picked the rest. And, I think this will help with that. Let them make their choice. And get the experience of the nervousness.
Yeah. We have multiple meetings in any given week over a variety of subjects. And it's kind of bubbled up in those meetings that there seems to be I guess I want to call it an attitude change, but ninth graders know that there's a performance standard that they're going to have to do something if their heart really wants them to be into a technical area. They know they're going to have to, shine the shoe and come on in and make the impression so that they could possibly be selected. So we've heard that from your, some of your colleague teachers who seem to appreciate the notion of this program and what it could be. We'll run through it and try it along the way. I want to thank Dr. Donovan, Mr. Barger, and certainly Dr. Bullock, who's been riding point on this. And it's a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of change. But we've also got a communication process with parents and students about a template of how things are going to go, but we wanted to, have this conversation with the board tonight about where we were headed with it from that perspective. Any questions for Dr. Bullock or Morton, Mr. Jones, Mr. Barger, anybody?
Questions, but I think I definitely am liking the look of accountability for the student. I think it makes them own it and they're more invested that way. So definitely.
There's going to be integration with their ninth grade English classes where they're going to have to talk about word choice in interviews. Like, how do you say what your weakness is without it sounding bad in an interview? And then there are a few components on the application that could involve some written responses. So they used to write a letter every year. We're kind of transitioning that. Instead of them writing a letter to their tech teacher, they're now going to write a response. Like, what are my experiences that
make me a good candidate for this pathway.
I think it's also going to give non-technical teachers another peek at a technical area, and to see. I mean, I already know they're going to see some student motivation that they're not used to seeing. So they know that the student has the capability of utilizing it. What's my long-term dream? That they see the connection between the technical area and their area and figure out the bridge. It really is there.
And the curriculums are interlocking now. The ELA teachers have a clear vision of what they can do to help their students. And if a proposal is going to be put forth in the interview, hey, Mr. Jones, let me show you what I've put together, the math teachers could maybe help that. So it's really interlocking our system. And the tone of accountability is rising, and that's good. And we just want to maximize every minute a child has in the 4 years. And from walking in the hall, head up, you know, get prepared, we can all speak that same language. And I want to, you know, congratulate Dr. Bullock. She's taken a lot of diverse opinions and by consensus agreed to what's on this piece of paper. And I can't compliment you enough for the way you've been able to pull this together in a short period of time. We're going to make this happen, and I'm looking forward to learning from it.
I have a comment I'd like to say, and I think this is great. When I went here, we did a senior project, and I know you guys don't do that anymore, but I think that this would lead into a complete circle if you could integrate that back in. You're starting with this, going to your senior project presentation, and see where you end up. I think that would be something worth looking into. It also gives them motivation to keep working hard in the technical areas because they've got an end goal as well, not just the beginning goal. So it's just a statement. I think this is great.
This has created some additional conversations related to how we transition kids in ninth grade, and what do we do with the 10th grade, what do we do with how do we really prepare them ready for the work world, whether we're at college or whatever their next goal is. Sooner. So it's really created some sparks of conversation even outside of this committee.
And if we start collecting items from ninth grade to 10th to 11th in a portfolio, if you will, an electronic portfolio, a simple presentation of what they've accumulated in 4 years could be that senior project.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the vision, and we're building it piece by piece. And I think we'll actually get there.
Yeah, good. It also partners up with our relationship with SREB and the conversations with them too. So there's coming at it from a lot of different directions. Thank you all. Appreciate your time and for being here. This is Whaley, Adult Education Update.
Great job. Good evening, everybody. Our enrollment is holding steady. We're on track, even a little bit ahead of where we should be this time of year to meet all of our state and federal goals. Hallways are full every night, sometimes during the day too. Our little classroom over there is always full. Our library classes are full. It's amazing, and the students are working so hard. They all have goals, and they all have, as many of you know, they all have stories, and just helping them reach their goals and overcome all these barriers they have, it gets me. Currently, we have 4 students that have completed their GED for this year. When I turned in this report, we had 3 high school graduates. We now have 6. So they will all be members of the class of 2025, and we have several more that are right on the cusp. I asked Donna Smith this morning, I said, do you think we'll have maybe 10 by the time we go to Christmas break? And she says, maybe 8 or 9, but no, she doesn't think that, so, but we're getting there. Dual enrollment, the Sussex Central CNA class finished with 100% completion rate, so we're very proud of them. Registration is underway for our forklift and EKG dual enrollment classes, and those are with Sussex Tech high school students. We now have an articulation agreement with the Laurel School District for CNA and health professions. We'll be working with them over the next couple of months to enroll some students. In January, we will have a new ESL site. It is in Frankfurt at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. It's a very beautiful church. I got to visit it last month. The church received a grant that's going to pay for our instructor. So it's very similar to the classes that we have at Georgetown Middle School, where we are providing the curriculum, the instruction, but the church is going to pay for our instructor. So that's really good. So that will allow us to serve about 25 students. It's not a huge church, but their classroom size there, we will be able to have 25. So we'll just have the one teacher in one section there. National Apprenticeship Week was last month, November 18th to the 22nd. We had a great week celebrating our students. We spotlighted some of them on social media. They all got free tools. Mike and Jerry and Daphne love to go through the hallways with their Carta tools, and they have the students pick numbers, and they come up, and they all get to choose a tool. We hosted a breakfast for Sussex County counselors that week. We had 100% participation from the other districts in Sussex County. There was at least one representative from every district. A couple of them sent 3, 4, even 5 people. So that was great. It's just about, you know, building those relationships. I think that's very important, right? Building relationships with our partners, with our students. It's always been something that I really think is important. Then also on Thursday night of that week, we received proclamations from Governor Carney and the Delaware Senate. They were presented to us by Representative Tim Dukes and Representative Jeff Hilofsky. And recently, 15 Mount Air employees completed our advanced TIG welding training program, so a contract training class that Mike did. He's really created a good relationship with Pat. Anyway, his first name's Pat. So after months of the hands-on training, those Mount Air employees have gained skills, certifications, and confidence to tackle the demands of their industry. And they are they've already called us, and they want to have another class this spring. So that welding shop is used just about every possible second of the day, because that welding class was on Saturdays. We are working on the application for Superstars in Education. That application is due January 16th, and we're hopeful that our work with dual enrollment and Connect Ed, our articulations are going to be supported and recognized at that award ceremony. The ceremony is in March, I believe, and last year it was at Del Tech in Dover. I'm assuming it's at the same place. So we'll keep you posted on that. I've listed also here our graduation dates for this year, so you can go ahead and mark your calendars. I hope to see you there if you're available. Apprenticeship is up first, April 16th. So that's the week right before we go to spring break. And then Health Professions is right before Memorial Day, May 22nd. Our Groves High School graduation is June the 12th, and then our GED celebration ceremony is June the 26th. And then it'll be Thomas all over again, July 1st. So we're expecting, last year we had, I believe it was 60 graduates, and we will, no, it was the 60th anniversary, we had 50 graduates. We're expecting to have at least that many, hopefully 30, 35 GEDs. Good. And they're able to take their GED right here now with our mobile testing center. Matt Drumheller has been a huge help with getting that mobile testing center up and running, and he is actually, we've hired him part-time, and he's doing our GED testing for us in the evenings. So that's great. He's wonderful. Is there any questions?
Thanks for the great work.
Yep, thank you.
Awesome. Mr. Athey, facilities update. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So a lot of my
thunder has been taken by the Lincoln crew. I'm sure we can find some dirt or blacktop or sewage to talk about. So in front of you do have just that summarized update. As you can see, this is the facilities update, so it's all-encompassing. They did talk about the base layer paving and the site plan going, and I don't know if we can go back on a couple of the pictures, if you have the clicker. If we can, that's great. If not, no worries. I was just going to highlight where the blacktop around the main part of the building, so you can kind of get a feel for the traffic flow. And if
hey, look,
no worries.
I got it.
Look at that.
I got it. Where do you want to get to?
Where it shows the main building pad. There you go. So again, this last month we did have, you know, get a fairly good perspective. But this is the cafeteria side of the building. So you see that large parking lot there. But as you come around, this was the much discussed bus and daycare drop off. Okay? So as you come around back, you can see this large paved area. That's all bus parking. They're still working, actually, yesterday they wrapped up. But you can see here the cutout that comes in. It's not paved currently, but that is the daycare drop-off, definite delineation. And as we come back around, you see the loop here for buses to come out. There's an auxiliary parking lot, and this is the construction, what it's easier to refer to as the trade wing on the first floor. So all auto body, carpentry, welding, electrical is down here. So that does show that basic traffic flow. So we will have lots of parking and a much better traffic flow altogether. But did just want to point that out just to give an idea of how far they've come in that short amount of time, in addition to the secondary entrance at the far end and all the other paving. It's just been phenomenal. And they did mention their two on-site supervisors. There's two people named Billy Joel. That is two people. When they first said it, I thought they were joking, but that is their names. Doing a great job. We will have to cut the electricity at some point. We're trying to make sure it's when students aren't here, but it's only for about a 30-minute period, so they can disconnect one of the loops so then they can continue their work. And as was also mentioned, the water shutoffs were finally found, so that they could begin demolishing some of those buildings. And again, as we know, everything's interconnected and looped back around, so it's almost like it was redundant. They found a water shutoff. It cut off one building that it shouldn't have, according to the plans, but not the one that they thought it was. Some more research, there was another one essentially next to it that did cut off what needed to be done. So working on those types of things. The storage pole building, the second one, we had the bollards put in, the concrete apron poured. So once that is cured, we're about a week out from the garage doors being put on, and then gutters and downspouts. So we'll be able to start moving some of the performing arts stuff in there to prepare classrooms for next year, as we've talked about in the past. We are still looking at some of the finishes, as Brian Bassett discussed, you know, comparing gray brick or gray block to gray block, you know, as long as there's nothing structurally different about it, they looked identical. So just doing those types of things to get the best that we can for the value. And the very last thing, everyone's favorite topic, waste pipes in the building. So apparently we finally narrowed it down. There's a place near the gym inside where there are three Y's coming together, which should never happen. Yes, our face exactly. So three Y's coming together, and that's where we keep getting the clog. So Roto-Rooter has been fabulous. They've given us a very, what we feel is low proposal. They can do the work in 2 days. It'll be done over break. And when they finish, we'll just have to put a couple tiles back in place, but they will actually take the offending wires out and space them out within a 4-foot space, and then go from there. But of course, it's right outside the locker rooms, so you can't really be jackhammering up the concrete and everything outside the health classroom and health pro. So that'll be done over break. Other than that, it's great to see some rain. We don't want it to slow down the process, but we definitely need some of that. But any questions or?
Just real quick, you said this is going to be over break. Aren't your winter sports teams going to be practicing over
yes,
break?
Yes, but the upside is we have many exits from the gym. Okay. So they'll be able to go on two of the side exits to the locker rooms, and we also have a secondary entrance to the locker rooms.
And they will be able to use the facilities?
Yes. Okay. Yep. They'll be able to do that because it's just a short shutdown for that. And essentially, they start in the morning, they'll be able to get it out, and then as soon as the pipe is exposed, it'll be a relatively quick switch out. And then the rest is filling the hole back in and letting the concrete harden back up.
All right. Any questions for us, Reed?
Thank you all.
Thank you, sir.
You all have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You too.
Dr. Peel?
I have one quick addition and one change to our leave policy. As you look through the policy on the third page, is the addition of paid FMLA. This is a new program from the state. It does not take effect until January 2026. So it's not this January, but the following January. But in a nutshell, an employee could earn up to $900 a week when they are on FMLA. So there's lots to be discussed on how this is implemented and potentially some changes over the next year. But this piece needed to be added to our policy, and we also were mandated to send out a notification to everyone a couple weeks ago, beginning of December. So this was drafted by our district attorney and school district attorney, and all the districts are using the same language. The next piece is donated leave. You may have heard there was a bill passed last January, Senate Bill 20. It was named after a gentleman from Red Clay School District, and essentially donated leave was changed from two school employees had to donate 2 days in order to get 1 day. Now it is 1-to-1.
Ooh.
Yeah. So in doing that, it was easier just to kind of delete everything we had and start again and write new policy. Much of it is the same, but all the districts are using the same that's in green, so I felt like ours needed to be just the exact same that they have too. I could have kind of chopped up the other one, but so just most of it is not changing, and so it's changing. But interestingly, if you are receiving pay and you're on FMLA, you likely don't need donated leave. So anyway, so we'll see how all that plays out here in the next year or so. Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Garrison.
On November 14th, the Special Education Department held their annual Parent Council meeting. On November 22nd, our HOSA medical professional students hosted a blood drive in the school gym, and they had 64 donations for 71 units of blood. On November 20th and 21st, 9 students participated in the County Choir Festival that was held at Milford High School. In November, Mr. Balger received a phone call from a former BD patient who was treated by two of our work-based learning students while that person was in BD, and was very complimentary of the students and how great they were and kind and very professional, and encouraged Mr. Balger to contact and write letters to the state leadership and the Federal Department of Education encouraging the expansion of technical education. On December 2nd, we had several members of our administration and staff attend the Educational Support Professional of the Year dinner for Ms. Dominique Scott. Also, on December 4th, we had 5 students do signings to continue their athletic careers while they're attending college. Today and again tomorrow, Virginia Tech has their Share the Road program truck. It's parked out by the new Hope, the first new Hope building, for our students to just go in and check out. Right now, the Key Club is having an induction ceremony in the cafeteria. And our Student Behavior and School Climate Task Force final report was released on November 1st. And Mr. Hayes has submitted a copy of that to each of our board members. And our high school kitchen passed its health inspection with 0 deficiencies. And that's all for my report. Just a couple reminders. On December 16th, the concert choir concert will be held at Epworth Methodist Church in Rehoboth at 6 p.m. And December 23rd to January 2nd will be school closed for winter break. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Couple of things for you. Behind Miss Charlene down there are some.
I'll vacate this spot here.
Are some wooden American flags that were made by our carpentry students, and there is one for each of you to take home.
Nice.
Advance notice, they're a little heavy, but we'll help you take care of that. But Mr. Stow is very involved with a group called Contractors with a Cause. And you remember last year we had the specialized wood, and we made the charcuterie boards. And this year he did the flag routine. The proceeds are going to the Contractors for a Cause charity, so it's going back to help members of our community. So there's one for each of you. You each got a shirt from Mr. Bogger and Mr. Quillen and the athletic department, so that's for you also. There's some finally I would tell you there's a concept or a discussion that we're going to be pursuing a little bit further as we get into January. I don't have much time on this, but we're looking at the reasoning and purpose with Raven Academy. And as you know, we have 2 components of it, 7th and 8th grade exploratory, and then also credit recovery along the way. Good things sometimes lead to not so good things. In that, and we're going to be talking some more with Dr. Langley and others, but our challenge is this, is that for some students, they remain, they don't accept the accountability bar, as Dr. Donovan mentioned, regarding responsibility of during the school year. Or the assistance that's available through Techademic Coaching, because they're rolling the dice on coming to Raven Academy credit recovery for a much shorter period of time during Raven Academy and getting the credit that they need. Now, that credit's important to us also because it helps with scheduling, helps continuing to have students move through the system, and so on and so forth. But the point of the matter is that if everybody sat down in front of a computer for 6 to 8 days, some cases less, and could get the credit, then we wouldn't need to be here, now would we? So we're going to be having some conversations about, I guess sometimes I sound like an ogre because it's a conversation about academic standing, and I believe that's important, and I believe that students should be given safety nets in order to be able to meet the standards that are established in order to be deemed successful. I don't think providing the loophole through, and I call it that, a credit recovery matter certainly was not our intention along the way. But if there's going to be a change regarding how we deliver credit recovery, and I'm not
not saying that credit recovery isn't a good idea for certain circumstances, and I think that's where I'm headed on this thing, but it's another thing that we would publicize to our students that, much like the interview conversation, it's, you know, what you do in English class matters, and turning in the paper is important, and getting a, you know, an F all year isn't a good thing, and as we know, because of previous decisions, if they don't meet their academic standing, they might get one of those letters that says you have to return to your district of residence before Raven Academy. So there's going to be some continued conversation, I would suspect a proposal coming to you in January to address this option. So I'm giving you some advance notice and ask you to think about that in terms of some options, because it would require a change of direction regarding Raven Academy. So just want you to be aware of that.
Two questions. Yeah. One, is there a minimum rate to go to credit recovery or Raven Academy?
I don't understand the question.
Is there a minimum, like they have to score 55 or above? Or
I believe it's 55.
Okay. And the other question then is there a minimum grade in which a teacher can give a student?
First three marking periods, they can only receive a 50. Lowest,
so
grade,
lowest grade is a 50.
For marking periods 1, 2, and 3.
And 4 is whatever they get.
Whatever it is.
And so
they have
to
have an average of
55 to
go to credit.
Okay.
And
thank
that
you.
May be part of the conversation,
right. Well,
about
I think it should be in
access to, mm-hmm. and go from there.
Thank
so.
You.
That's all I have, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we'll go to board reports. Ms. Jones.
Our next meeting is not until the beginning of February.
Okay. Mr. Hayes.
No reports. Just that the disciplinary report was issued last month by the Department of Education.
Thank you for sending it.
You're welcome. It didn't have anything about mental health with students, just describing for us.
That's good. All right, thank you. Next, we'll move to public participation. And seeing no one here to participate, we'll move on to the agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of personnel action items.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Need a motion for the approval of monthly financials, November 2024.
First Hayes.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Do you motion for the approval of the 2025 final district budget?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. I need a motion for the FY 2025 adult education final budget.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of district purchase orders, change orders, and vouchers.
So moved, Marcel.
Second, Will Canoe.
Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Mr. Canoe. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the Journal Club Science Field Trip Van and Dell Institute to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So moved.
And second. Just a comment. And for the record, that would, your motion includes maintaining the contingencies that have to be met in order for the trip to go forward. Thank you.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Canoe.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. I need motion for approval of the administrative contract as discussed in executive session.
So moved.
Second,
Marcel. Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business?
Just
what?
Collective bargaining.
Oh, I'm sorry. Need a motion for the collective bargaining memorandum of understanding.
So moved, Will Canoodle.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Canoodle, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Now, is there any unfinished or new business? Okay, hearing none, I need a motion. Our next board meeting is Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. Need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Canoodle. All in favor?
Aye.
Both meetings adjourned.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.